All right, it is 9:30, time for Friday Night Hangout. This is where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. We'll do quick rounds of intros, what we're drinking, a whole bunch of stuff. But before we get to that, let's talk about how you can interact with the show. If you're watching live, you can DVR this on. If you're watching on YouTube. We have a replay, which will start about 10-15 minutes once we're done tonight. And, of course, you can listen to our audio-only podcast, Gaining in Numbers. Bring up your iTunes, your Downcast, your Stitcher, whatever else you need for podcasts. We are there for you. All right, let's start with a little round of introductions here, and let's go all the way to Wallace, Nova Scotia, where we got Keith Elliott from KeithElliottStone.com with us tonight. And we're going to switch over to Cape Breton. We got Carrie with us tonight. And, of course, I'm here in Halifax with you with that. As we get started, we will let people know of a couple things. We'll do a couple quick reads in terms of how you can interact with the show. You can interact via Twitter, YouTube, and, of course, on OverboardingChores.com. All right, boys, well, let's get started here, which is basically what we are drinking tonight. Keith, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
I picked up in the bargain section of the NSLC Nitwit, Garrison Nitwit. It was like $2 off a six-pack, so I had to get me some of that.
All right, excellent. Good stuff. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
Picaroons, best bitter. Why? Picaroon. Because I like it. Because I like it.
Now, is that bought in Fredericton, or are you able to find that in Sydney?
We got it in Sydney and in Glace Bay.
Excellent.
Figure that out.
Excellent. Good stuff. And, of course, me being in Halifax, I'm drinking something new from the other breweries. I'm drinking the Double Jack, the 8% pumpkin ale from Garrison Brewing. And you know what? I sent out a newsletter this morning, and not 2 years ago, guys, there was only one pumpkin ale available in Nova Scotia. Now we got five to choose from this year. Five. Garrison being one of them with their Double Jack. And I've tried pretty much all of them, and I think the Garrison one is one of the best. The other one is being from Sea Level, the Pumpkin Grinner, which is one of the better ones. So I think if you're looking for pumpkin ale, Garrison or Sea Level will probably be your best bet here. As we've got people jumping in, I'd like to thank everybody who are jumping in for the hangout. Just a reminder that you can interact with us. You can interact with us via Twitter, YouTube, Google Plus, or on avoidingchores.com. Quick words from our supporters here before we get going with the topics here. Trail Shop here on Quinpool Road here in Halifax. Their winter gear is slowly coming in. You can check out what they got. They got a couple new brands. And also check out on their Facebook page for their Tuesday talks. And we got Scotian Hiker, somebody else. At some point, I'm supposed to be on the Tuesday talks. They haven't confirmed my date yet, but I'm going to be talking, hopefully, about hammock camping. But until it's confirmed on their Facebook page, don't know. Also, from our friends at InReach Canada, the two-way satellite device here, just a reminder that you're thinking, you know, I would like to have her InReach. I like to be in the woods. I like to be basically using a satellite phone network and not pay a lot of money. Well, you know, you can suspend your plan during the winter just like you would if you had a cottage, you had a satellite dish, you want to suspend it, reduce rate, you can do that with InReach, the only ones that can do that. So you want to go check that out at InReachCanada.com. And Carrie was drinking some Picaroons, and Picaroons are co-hosting a fundraiser called the Beer and Stein on October 30th in Fredericton, so you can always check that out on their Facebook. They do have a couple events up there, so you can go and check that out. All right, boys, let's start out the way that we do, which is our first topic, because we did the beer already. Let's get the latest on the Novastar Ferry. A little bit more news came out today, boys, or this week. And the government gave this company another $5 million to cover the season. Apparently, they were supposed to get some winter work, winter contract. Unsure now. This $5 million has a little bit of a little bit more strings attached to it. Guys, let's start with Keith. Keith, did you read some of the details from this latest stuff from the ferry, or
what is it now? They're up to $26 million now that that's going to the ferry, and I think they said that the executives can't draw a full salary until they start paying the money back.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, but I mean, there's a couple of things I have to say. I mean, they're not going to make money in their first year. Any big business venture like that's not good. But at the same time, all this money was supposed to be doled out over a period of time, not, you know, in less than a year. And to my knowledge, Maine has contributed nothing. I think that's, you know, they were supposed to, and they didn't. So basically, Nova Scotia government's left holding the bag. And I mean, it's going to be a few years before they make money. It's just the way it is. It's a big investment. So, but how much more are we going to have to sink into this to, you know?
Exactly. Let's go to Cape Breton with Kerry. Kerry has a ferry that goes from Cape Breton to Newfoundland, so he has a little bit of a say here, or three ferries. What do you think, Kerry, like, of what you're seeing right now with the Novastar compared to the ferries that go to Newfoundland and stuff like that?
Like are you the ones that go to a ferry have a truly legitimate reason to go there. They support, and they are the lifeline from Canada and Newfoundland. The one from Yarmouth to Maine is only just one of those pleasure ferries that you go to if you really want to, because it the cost monetarily wise for somebody driving from Nova Scotia to Maine is about the same price. So it's one of those things that, A, you want to do it just for the experience, and there's only certain times of year that you really need to do it. If you're going on a holiday down towards that way or coming this way to see an event or something. So that's basically it, really.
Yeah, so, and I agree with you with that. And, you know, I've seen a few people who drive down to Maine and then they're like, oh, I have some extra money in my pocket. Let's use the ferry to just come over and complain about it. Maine, the state of Maine, a couple times now we hear the governor promising money. It hasn't come. Maine, they're in the governors are in re-election mode, and anybody who follows a little bit of Maine news would know that Governor LePage is not doing very well, and he just punted any commitment down the line. So we got that. And we also had the ferry that, you know, the ferry is docked in Portland. Pretty much all the goods and services are procured on the Portland side. So, you know, the ship is, you know, of that money that we give to them is going into Portland. And, you know, they attracted about 59,000 passengers from their original 100,000 passenger target. And as Keith said earlier, you know what? And we've said this before in a few hangouts. They literally had 3 weeks of promotion before they got into service. So, you know, hitting this target shouldn't be like, you know, make or break. It's like they had literally no time to promote the ferry and book the buses and the bus tours and all that stuff. So, you know, it's going to take a couple years to ramp up. But at the same time, as you guys said, we've put in $26 million and that damn ship is not even docked in Yarmouth and we're not even supplying the muffins that are on there. So, Government, I think, did pretty good about adding some strings. This whole executive salary thing, look, you know what? People need to get paid. There's four people. They're getting around $100,000 a year. We don't know the exact breakdown. Does it really matter? If you're an executive on a fair, you know, in a company, that's what you're going to be making anyway. So I'm not really hung up by that. I want to know when this ferry is going to be sustainable so that we don't have to put in $20 million a year to keep it running.
Yep.
Exactly.
Do that. Hey, guys. It's Friday night hangout. So we're grabbing the brew, shoot the breeze. We've got a number of people watching. Got the wife sick there in the back, coughing away. I brought medication. I brought cough syrup. Does she drink it? No, she doesn't want to use all that stuff. Watches her Gilmore Girls on Netflix.
Make her some mojitos.
Hot toddy.
Hot toddies. I don't know.
Guys, mojitos.
You can comment, send to Twitter what I should give the missus to help her with her cough. Honestly, it's been going on for like 3 weeks. This is this cough.
Mojitos.
Cough that never ends. We're going to do a check on comments here, so let the boys refresh their usual pages and let you know that you can send us a reply on Twitter, YouTube, Google+, and, of course, on avoidingchores.com. We also got our podcast, which is growing pretty nicely. Let me get that. Carrie, are you on avoidingchores.com?
I am on Avoiding Chores, watching it all by myself. Bluefin.
No, Bluefin left a comment.
He did. He says he's at work tonight, having just water, wishing that he could be trying out some of the new pumpkin beer that Nova Scotia is offering this fall. He says he does have a full keg of pumpkin beer at home for when he gets there. Good for him.
Good for him. And my keg of my Imperial Amber ran out last night, and I was trying to pour a glass tonight. All I got was residue and foam. It was really disgusting. At one point, my wife said, "What is this in the glass?" Because it was just gray. And I said, "That's the left of the beer. So I need to make me some more homebrew." I might tell you later on what I'm going to get. Keith, what do you got on YouTube? Any comments on YouTube yet?
Stuart Grandy says, "Nice to make it tonight, drinking a Rare Bird Full Steam Stout."
All right, Stu, good to see you on the Hangout. Steph, any more comments?
I don't see any, but you know what happened last week?
Well, that's just it. Last week, man, we've been having a lot of trouble with the comments there. And at one point, even myself, when I was loading the page here, I got two laptops going, and the one that doesn't have anything going on, it just has Twitter and YouTube. Nothing was coming up. People were sending me emails. Keith is not reading the comments. I'm not seeing the comments either. It's a good thing that you guys are telling us. So.
Yeah.
But we do have a number of people watching here, so we'd like to thank everybody for watching here. All right, let's move on to this next topic here, which is a little bit more local. Then we'll start to branch out here. The Nocturne at Night Festival starts tomorrow. And for those who are not familiar with that, that is basically something that happens in, I think, Toronto, maybe a few other cities, big cities, cities that matter. this is one of these festivals where nighttime displays, basically. You just walk around. It's no cost. Halifax has been having that for third year now. And it's happening tomorrow night. And basically, there's an iPhone app, and you just go downtown and just enjoy the sights. And the number of businesses that has storefront, street side displays that artists are putting up displays and stuff. I haven't done it, but everybody who has gone down, usually it's a nice time.
We were last year.
You were there last year?
Yeah, Chris and I went last year. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's something I've taken every year. I'm not sure. I'm not in the city, but if I lived in the city, I definitely would. Last year, it got really crowded towards the end of it. Barrington Street was just jammed. But, you know, there's lots of different mediums to look at. It might, you know, one display might not be your thing, but just keep walking. You're going to find something that you really enjoy. It's definitely worth checking out.
Hmm. Carrie, you got anything?
But
yeah, go ahead.
They did have something here similar to that, or they're going to soon. But I haven't gone down to any of those type of events.
Yeah, and it, for me, I haven't gone down just because timing-wise just didn't work out. We definitely do support Nocturne in different ways. We did a beer review of their Nocturne at Night. Propeller Brewing does a black lager, so we took a look at that. But from the pictures on Flickr, on social media, if you can't get down, we'll try to find. I'll try. If you follow me on Twitter, I'll try to retweet something here, and that you can follow. Because tomorrow night there's going to be. I don't know what the hashtag is. If I can find it here, I'll bring it up. But if you can find the hashtag, people, they're encouraging people to take pictures and post it on their social media. So if you're on Twitter or on Instagram, I think tomorrow night you're going to see a whole bunch of stuff. So it'd be kind of cool with that. Excuse me. Since that's in the future, we can't predict the future, boys. Let's move on to the next topic, which I think is a little bit of interest because we've mentioned this before. Keith brought this up here, and it's just been rolling this week. HBO and CBS have announced that next year, CBS is there, kind of started doing it, they are basically doing the Netflix. At some point, HBO will offer a streaming service that you will pay monthly. And all the shows that you want to watch that's not on Netflix, it's probably on HBO, you're able to do it.
That's exactly why they held back, don't you think?
Yeah. And I was reading about CBS. There is a little bit more complicated how they got stuff set up, but it's essentially the same thing. They are basically going outside of the cable provider and setting up their own platforms and setting up their own models. The CBS model is just insane. You pay, I don't know, a couple bucks a month.
$6 a month, I think.
Well, is it the HBO or the CBS you're going to be referring to?
HBO is going to be like $15 a month and CBS is going to be about $6.
Yeah, CBS is going to be $6. $6, and then it's ad-free, any of the old shows that are not on air, mm-hmm. any shows like Big Bang Theory, you're going to have ads. Now, if you live in any cities that has a CBS affiliate, New York, Los Angeles, Boston, that kind of stuff, you can live stream that channel, All You Can Eat. So, you know, for $6, you know, like, they're giving you the opportunity to, like, if you want to cut the cord, $6, go with us, you know. So
HBO doesn't seem too appealing, though, for $15 to me. I mean, it's everything you can't get on Netflix for sure, but that's expensive.
It won't be $15 a month. I can guarantee you it will be the same or cheaper than Netflix once they actually roll it out.
It's fantastic. They're not going to sell it.
HBO has been holding off this long. They're not going to price themselves out because everybody knows, and we're not saying it. If HBO says, yeah, you can stream $15 a month and only in the U.S., they're not going to get nothing. You know, they're going to have to make it worldwide, $7.99. They're going to have to match or lower. Just think of it. HBO has a number of shows. All right. HBO has Sopranos, Game of Thrones. What, The Wire?
Probably, yeah, whatever you can't get on Netflix, all those, you know.
Yeah, but is that worth 15 bucks a month, though?
Not to me, because if you're really into it, you can probably get it somewhere else cheaper.
Exactly. I can download it right now from whatever site from Europe, whatever. So,
I mean, there's not as much value on Netflix.
Exactly. So it's not, I think it's going to be a very competitive service once they get that stuff figured out. Yeah, they do have a lot of programming, but it's not going to be at that point. Carrie, are you? Yeah, go ahead.
We do have one of the persons in our house subscribes to Netflix, and I watch maybe 3 or 4 shows on it because just to see what's on it. It's good. It's a good refresher type. Go back and find something that you missed. You're right that you can download the latest episode of The Walking Dead yesterday, and it's there. It's available. You can find it. Another thing is that if these people want to, or these big companies want to get more advertising dollars out, they got to start reaching people where they can see these little screens. And we're not going to. And these little screens are turning into big screens with the Apple TV and Chromecast and everything else. So that is one of those things that they're going to have to start thinking about. Internet providers are going to be providing more and more and more of that media for everybody.
What I think is hilarious is that the desire, the need to make internet streaming the same as cable streaming is hilarious to me. Hopefully that will never happen. Hopefully we will never pay 200 bucks a month, 300 bucks a month for an internet connection and have basically the same cable subscription, like the reason why we cut the cord. We've cut the cord here. I can't remember how long we've cut the cord. 5, 6, 7 years now. And, I don't miss it. I don't miss it. But I am not going to, I get angry when I see CTV, if you think of Canadian, CTV Global with their Go apps. I got to be subscribed to a cable company. Stuff that I can just use an antenna to get. No.
That's exactly.
No,
that's
no, we shouldn't have to do that.
I agree with that. No. I mentioned that before. Especially, where it's open air. It's not a subscription policy.
Exactly. Why try to lock me in that way? All right, let's go to the comments, boys, and hopefully some of these topics have spurred some comments. And you can leave us a comment if you send us a tweet. And our Twitter handles, YouTube, Google Plus, and of course on avoidingchores.com. We'll give a chance for the boys to refresh their pages. And just a reminder that if you're watching live, you can DVR this. If not, you can watch the replay once we're done and listen to the audio only podcast later on the weekend. Let's start with Keith. Keith, is there anything on the YouTube channel?
Yes, GC Storm says, I'm a little late getting on tonight, but I have a Bone Shaker IPA. My CO2 tank for the kegerator is getting hydroed and filled.
Excellent. And
Jason Spears says, hi, guys, having a Hopbot IPA tonight. And that's it for comments.
All right, good. Thanks, Jason. And thank you, Roger, for adding in the comments. But just to show you, I just happened to have two machines tonight. And the laptop, that's not doing anything. I have it on our YouTube page, and I'm not seeing the comments. Keith, you're lucky. You're seeing the comments tonight.
Well, it just depends what you hit. If you hit top comments versus newest comments.
Well, nothing's coming in for me. Me, I'm thinking, if I'm hitting refresh here, and it looks like nobody's watching, but yet there's people watching. We have our regulars, Jason, Roger, and Stu commenting. So it's
a new problem, that's for sure.
Exactly. So if we don't see your comments, guys and girls, send a tweet, do something, let us know, and we have to refresh again or do something. So, Carrie, anything on awardingchores.com?
I agree with Keith with the YouTube thing, because I just put it on and there's nothing there. I can't see nothing, so that's something strange. However, our faithful on Avoiding Chores, Bluefin, says the main to Nova Scotia Ferry, $26 million seems quite a bit large investment. But he's wondering what the monetary return is to Nova Scotia. And he says, Jim, Buckley's taste awful, but it works.
Okay, listen, Bluefin, I had bought, I'm trying to find it here. I am trying to find our bottle. Okay, so usually my go-to for coughs and stuff is Buckley's.
The inventor of Buckley's came from Wallace.
Really?
There's a little known fact for you.
We talked about that before.
Yeah.
Did we?
Talked about that before. Yep.
Yep, he was born right behind where the quarry is now.
Really? Well, I must have been drinking beer when we were talking about that, because I don't remember that.
Quebec, I think.
Okay, we've been having this little cough for a while, so I say, all right, I need some Buckley's. So I go and get the Buckley's. Now, of course, the Buckley's original was sold out at the store I was at. I got the Buckley's complete, and we basically drained the bottle in a couple days. I go to the drugstore. The pharmacist was very helpful. I said, where's your Buckley's, girl? And she's like, it's not the same Buckley's. Well, what do you mean? They took out this chemical, which was found in Benadryl, which makes you drowsy, so they took that out. They took out the menthol, and they took out the potassium that was in it. So the Buckley's original that you bought now, compared to a couple of years ago, is not the same formula at all. Same thing like the NyQuil.
What are we going to make meth out of now?
I don't know, maybe silicone. I think it's all made of silicone now, so we're drinking plastic.
Not meth anymore.
And so I said, you know, I need something that works like Buckley's. I need something like Buckley's. What do you have? So she said, well, there's this. And she brings me, and I forget the name of it. It has a pirate on the label. Maybe it's a guy with a pipe. I don't know. I forget the name of it. And it's not here.
Usually we keep
our drugs right here on the counter here. But anyway, it says, this should work. This has menthol. This has pine tar or something like that.
It still has that pine in it then, so it's still like drinking, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So I say, this sounds like an exorcism. Love it. Give it to me. Let's go. So I take this bottle. So I'm texting the missus. It's like, I don't have Buckley's, but I think I got the next best thing that tastes awful. So, of course, and the pharmacist's like, how are you going to be measuring this? Oh, you know, a teaspoon. Yeah, you're only going to need a teaspoon for this. All right, well, whatever. I was going to use a tablespoon, but... So yeah. I get down, so I'm coughing at work. So I was like, let me try some of this mystery syrup. Oh, my God, guys. You know the chip seal when you repave a driveway, the chip seal, the smell?
That tar.
That tar, that smell you get on that hot summer's day, like, I would not want to be the flag person that has the stop slow sign standing next to this smell.
I bet you they don't ever get colds, though.
Yeah. Well, guess what? That was in my mouth. This thing, this syrup, was like that. And I'm somewhat cured because I only took a half a teaspoon and I don't want to take any more. It was awful. It was awful.
Anyway,
moving on.
He also says the Nocturne Festival says is interesting, and with all the streaming services available, I think regular TV channels are going to be in danger for a few years. It's going to be something that the big cable companies are making money off it, so we got to rebel.
Well, you know what? Somebody mentioned this the other day. It's like, on your computer, you probably have MP3s on it. And when was the last time you played those MP3s on that computer? Or other than using other streaming services and stuff. Like, the tide is changing where you don't need to keep a library in your living room of DVDs or CDs or anything like that. It's just, it's in the cloud. It's in the cloud.
Here, actually, we got rid of the stereo up here upstairs and got a Bluetooth stereo.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference.
Oh, huge, huge.
I saw a TV show or a webcast thing on this about a couple years ago. It was called Caprica.
Yes.
So if you ever watch Caprica, then...
It's a Battlestar, yeah.
Yeah, so shape of things to come.
And no hurricane for us, guys. Gonzalo or whatever... whatever they call the hurricane, since I don't have cable, I can't watch CNN with the fear-mongering. Newfoundland is going to miss Nova Scotia entirely. It's hitting Bermuda kind of right now, I guess. It's going to hit Newfoundland probably on, what, Saturday? We're going to...
Sounds like they're going to get...
It's on a direct path for our friend Mike on his platform in the Hibernia area, offshore. And I don't know if they, we asked this question before, like, do they kind of clear off those oil platforms when there's like a hurricane coming up, or do they just sit tight?
I think they do.
I'm sure they're used to rough seas, but I have no idea what the protocol would be.
I can't remember. I think he commented about that last time, and I just can't remember what the deal is. But the bigger story for us in Nova Scotia, we haven't had, other than Arthur, Gonzalo, which is not going to touch us because we're just mentioning it because, you know, CBC is really want a hurricane to hit.
I think the weather, like the weather networks, yeah, they really want mayhem.
Yeah, but we've had a pretty calm season, really, when you think about it, though.
Arthur wreaked a lot of havoc, though. We felt it all season long.
Oh.
We even see it now with the leaves and the trees. I don't think it's as good a fall as other falls. A lot of the trees along the coast, they had salt damage from Arthur, and it stayed there all year.
It's funny you mention that because I was somebody from Chris from Idaho. I think he's from the mid states there. Anyway, central time zone. Anyway, he was asking me some questions. He was asking how was Nova Scotia. I said, well, you know what? The fall colors were approaching our peak. And I think the colors were as vibrant, more vibrant as they were a couple of years ago. And but it's just, I remember now that when Hurricane Arthur came by, we didn't have the wind or the rain, so we didn't really have that much damage. So, yeah, sure, that area of Nova Scotia that didn't have Hurricane Arthur would look fine for the fall foliage, but the areas that were hit hard, like in your area, Keith, I think you got hit pretty hard too with the wind and all that stuff. Maybe not looking quite as good. Coincidence?
Spread out more this fall, whatever the reason.
Carrie, how do the colors look for you? Because I've been seeing some pictures online. They look pretty good in Cape Breton.
Yeah, we did the Cabot Trail last weekend, and it was brilliant. Today, however, with some of the winds that are coming up are blowing a lot of leaves off now. So where I am, the leaves are starting to get removed. I'm not sure what that means, whether it's going to be a early winter or a cold winter or whatever Cindy Day's grandmother says that it's going to be. So... we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see. Yeah, I'm not sure myself. Somebody was telling me that Cole Knights is one of these factors, but then again, who knows? Hey, guys, just to let you know, the Hell Bay Bruin over at Liverpool, they're going to release their latest Ripa, Rest in Peace. They're going to have a limited run. Mark's been working on different formulas for the last little while for a double IPA, or Ripa, as they call it, as he calls it. So this, I think this could be version 3. Working on that. North Bruin, Halifax Common, sold out for the year, which is their steam beer to their California Common. However, they do have a bunch of beer in Glenora barrels, aging as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Sea Level Brewing, their Pumpkin Grinner Pumpkin Ale is available. Growler format, can format. Go to where they have good beer and you probably will find it. I will suggest going up to Port Williams and getting it, filling up your growler. We did that on Monday because it was a long weekend. Family decided to want, they wanted to, a little outing. We went out, got a pumpkin out in the valley. I said, let's do a little detour, stop at sea level. So we did that. And of course, we're talking about pumpkin. Garrison Brewing, Double Jack, their pumpkin ale, 8%. And of course, we've been talking about that. All right, boys, let's do a quick check on the comments and see how things are going. Just a reminder for everybody watching here, like, thank you guys for watching. You can interact with us via Twitter, YouTube, Google Plus, and of course on avoidingchores.com. Keith, anything on the comments?
Yes. Reese Stain says, even I made it tonight, Jim. And then he says,
yes!
He says, the profit from the Yarmouth Ferry, as I understood, was $13 million. Increase expected next year, so they say. And then Jason Spear says, isn't balsam fir and Buckley's, there always used to be some evergreen concoction in it.
Something in there, yeah. I don't have this bottle of this syrup here. It's upstairs. But.
And Grease Steak goes on to say, when I get sick, I drink a quart of whiskey. It has a cure rate of 50-50, but it tastes pretty good. And then finally, Grease Steak says, the rigs run a skeleton crew and a supply boat or two on standby for rescue.
Hmm. Out of where, skeleton, he said?
What's that?
Where? From where?
A skeleton crew.
Ah, skeleton crew.
Okay. I may have mumbled. That's quite possible.
Anything's possible on a Friday night hangout.
There will be skeletons.
I said I might mumble and I can hear laughter from the peanut gallery in the other room, so I know it's true.
Are they still up? What's going on? Are you like me, Keith? Do you have a wall that separates
Kristen,
you?
Kristen doesn't go to bed when I tell her.
She's not warming up the sheets?
I'll pass it on.
There's a good stand-up comedian. Unfortunately, he died a couple years ago.
He's Patrice, not good anymore, is he?
Patrice O'Neill.
Oh no, Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, and he did a couple specials, HBO special, and he did a CD. Anyway, I love this guy, and he's been dead for a couple years. Stroke at 41.
Yeah.
Very sad. But he, very funny. He has a great, great bit where, you know, where he owns slaves because he's black. Right? So, and you talk about, you know, warming up sheep. I listen to his stuff that came in the last couple of years, guys. If you want to stream it, it might be on Netflix.
I just passed it on. Oh, I just passed it on.
It was good stuff. Mrs. likes him. He should listen to all this stuff. It is good stuff. Anyway, Ebola in Canada? No way. Canada is doing a fairly good job at monitoring the border, apparently, better than what they're doing in the States. Since I don't have cable, I only have over-the-air channels, And since the Gilmore Girls marathon on Netflix is going on for the last couple weeks, I have no idea.
That's Ebola, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Ebola has been done and over with. But I do think, though, you know, about these nurses and stuff like that, I think, you know, there's some people who are, like, you know, the reporter in NBC, and there was somebody else there that are in the line of fire that, you know, they need to go get a cup of soup in New Jersey to break quarantine, that kind of stuff. You know, once we get into that, personally, I think, you know, when you're coming down and, you know, where were you traveling, sir or madam? Oh, I was in Liberia for the last 2 months. Really?
Might be time to start.
We're going
to
put you here in this room for a couple of weeks, maybe 20, you know.
And everybody's, you know, oh, that's our right, but no, it's not your right. I mean, if it's that serious, treat it seriously.
Yeah.
And they have to have a contingency plan for these health workers to make sure they're properly protected. The way they're talking, they've had no lessons on how to maintain the proper barrier. They said in Texas, I think, they were dressing, you know, to protect themselves from Ebola, and none of them had their necks protected.
Yeah, and, I saw something. I didn't get a chance to watch it. But somebody showed contamination using chocolate sauce. They sprayed chocolate sauce on the suit, and they're trying to remove it. Anyway, if you got chocolate on yourself, it just kind of illustrates how, you know, how easy things can get done. And we're seeing videos and.
Yep.
Yeah, and illustrations how to remove the suits there. So yeah, so
that's pretty common to do that. I know a place I used to work, 3M would come in and you get your mask on, your air mask, and get it properly sealed, and then they'd spray colored water on you while you breathed in. And if there's any places it wasn't sealed, you'd see around your mask and on your face.
Oh no! If I had to deal with that kind of stuff. I will make damn sure I was sealed up pretty good. But,
they have to have a contingency plan. I'm not so sure that there is a good one.
Well, I think it's one of these things where they'll have to, the nurses and healthcare workers that, you know, try to treat these people, they're going to have to be in isolation for, you know, the same amount of time, too, to make sure that they're not going to increase. But apparently we do have a new, or at least the U.S. has an Ebola czar now. I guess that happens.
That I sounds guess. Like a king, yeah. Ebola czar.
Yeah, the czar. I don't know. Carrie, you're in Cape Breton. You're not going to get Ebola in Cape Breton. You're safe.
You think? No, we... We got other kinds of zombies wandering around town. Yeah. I think I commented on this before on another show about communicable diseases and where they are and how possibly you could get them. I mean, people die more of the flu than they do anything else, so it's one of those things that it could get worse. It could get really, really bad. And thankfully that we have countries like the United States and Canada that are stepping up and saying, hey, listen, they got a problem in Africa. So kudos for us and them that are working on it and trying to stop it, because all you can say is those poor people are just, they're the worst ones that are suffering through it all. So.
No, exactly.
You think they should nip it in the bud? Try to nip it in the bud instead of worry about it getting here?
Well, yeah, they got to try to. I mean, what else are they going to do? They can't drop a nuclear bomb on it and say that's the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta try to help. Try to help them out.
Tough scene for sure. Hey guys, Friday night hangout. So we're gonna grab a brew, shoot the breeze. Let's do what we're drinking tonight, because we're a little bit late doing that. Usually we do that at halftime. I am drinking Garrison Double Jack Pumpkin Ale, 8% ABV. Is it delicious? Yes, allspice. Love it. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I think I just discovered my second favorite craft beer in the Maritimes.
Oh.
Other than the Picaroons bitter, I've got a Hell Bay English Ale.
Oh, yes, son. How you like that Hell Bay?
That's very, very nice. I like it. It's just... What?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
You don't like it?
I was going to say, I would suggest taking a couple of bottles of that and setting them aside and trying it in a couple months because it cellars really nicely. Yeah, I almost like it better after it's been in the basement for a while.
Ah, I shall try to do that.
Hell Bay, Mark, has been, as I mentioned, they get the Ripa. Honey Blonde, he's ramping up production of that beer. I was able to have some Honey Blonde on tap at an eatery here in Halifax. Very, very good. Might be one of my favorites, but I can't remember if I had one of their Ripas before, so that might, because I like the bitter stuff. So, Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
I switched to my oatmeal stout that my father and I made back in March, so it's about 7 months old, and it is getting better with age.
Good.
I would like to thank you for giving me a few milliliters of that oatmeal stout. I drank that down very vigorously a couple weeks ago. I enjoyed it. So thank you, sir, for giving me that.
You're welcome.
And I would normally have at this point my homebrew, which was an Imperial Amber Ale, 8.something%. You know what? I must have liked it really good because the keg went dry today. So I need to brew another beer, and I need to brew a couple big beers. Up next on my queue would be a Russian Imperial Stout. You know what? I'm going to Beersmith Recipes, I think it's called. Anyway, Jason and some of the other boys there might know what I'm talking about. And this is a Yeti clone. I can't remember what Yeti is. I think it's a big thing in the States. Man, it's Russian Imperial Stout. However, this Russian, Imperial Amber that I was just finishing, the taste profile kind of changed a couple of weeks since I kegged it and started drinking it. At the end of it, it was really tasting really, really good. So I might have to do that one again because it was really good. It was really nice. All right. Let's go on with the next topic, and then we'll do comments. Can the Post Home Delivery Challenge. So for anybody who's been living in the sticks, you would have to get your mail in a community mailbox for the last 10, 15 years, maybe 20 years. Well, guess what? People in the city are going to have to do the same thing too. They ain't lacking it one bit. And they're giving some challenges. Apparently, there's a provision that if you're mobility challenged, you may get some home delivery. But I would like to say to all these people, Keith, just walk to the box and get your freaking mail because things are changing.
We've talked about this before. And like, we get mail delivered here to our mailbox at the end of the driveway because we live, you know, out of town. But anybody that's lived in a small town for years and years has had to get their box at the mailbox. When we used to live in Wallace, I had to go down every day and get my mail out of the little box with my key. And I can see that happening everywhere. I mean, Canada Post, what was it last year, cost $1 billion to run Canada Post?
Yeah.
And if they want to stay, if they want to stay the way they are and not be privatized, they're going to have to make cuts somewhere. Or they're going to go the way of the British model, which is gone. It's privatized now. I think you might have to go to a bank if you want to get, you know,
yeah, exactly, because we mentioned this in previous hangouts. Britain and the U.S., they've been cutting their postal service. This is not new. Like, and no, people who live in communities, community mailboxes has been a thing for a while. So people.
I mean, couriers deliver mail too.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's there's a competition there.
Well, it's funny. It's funny. I got we got the keys for our new community mailbox. Because funny, in our usual brown, ugly-looking mailboxes, there was a whole bunch of new mailboxes being installed. It's like, well, that sucks. I got the old mailbox design, not the new fancy new mailboxes. Anyway, they're moving everybody to the new mailboxes. We've got the keys, and it's like, hey, guess what? You're going to be using the new mailboxes next week, so I'm all pumped. I've been using these community mailboxes for like 15 years or 20 years now, so...
It seems like it's a little long coming, don't you think, really, to be honest?
Well, you know, it just seems like they were just keeping the cities happy until they really needed to cut the costs. Because I can imagine, you know, I see, you know, I work downtown and I see a few mail carriers that, you know, they have their routes and stuff like that, and I can see why they say that it costs for every address that a person walks and drops their mail in their mailbox, it costs $2 or whatever per address compared to 60 cents for a community mailbox. Carrie, do you get your mail at a community mailbox?
I walk across the street and there's 15 boxes there. That's where I get it. And I've been here for 7 years and I haven't paid nothing. So, whoops, was I supposed to pay something?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, it's going to be unfortunate that if they do discontinue mail door-to-door service because... us younger people don't care about it, or we do care that we get mail, you know. But our mail gets delivered to us. But it's for the seniors that are not in seniors complexes that are going to hurt from that. When they have to, if they can get out, they can and will get out. But if they can't, then it's going to be unfortunate for them.
Let's do a quick check on comments, because usually Canada Post stories will get a bunch of comments. We'll give a chance for the boys to refresh here. Just a reminder, replay coming up later, audio-only podcast. You can send us tweets, YouTube, Google+, and, of course, avoidingchores.com posts. Get them to you. Carrie, anything on avoidingchores.com?
Yeah, go back a couple minutes and talk about the storm. And Bluefin says, with the storm coming, the rigs are... they will take some people off the rigs, off the floating rigs if needed. They will also disconnect from the wells, but he says, we on Hibernia can't move or disconnect, so we just make sure that everything is secure out on the decks. Last January, they had a big winter storm with 50-meter waves and wind speeds of 196 kph. Woohoo! That was rolling. Yeah. That was wild.
196 kilometers per hour.
Yep.
Damn, son.
Hang on.
Oof. Keith, yeah, anything on the YouTube?
Yes. Greenstein says, from what I've been hearing about this Dallas hospital, they should be shut down. They've caused every problem they're having in the States at the moment. Yeah, I've heard that too. They dropped the ball on a lot of things right from the get-go. He also says it's nice that Canada was leading the way in a proper vaccine. One has to wonder if it wasn't for the Harper government's attack on science, if this problem would be as serious as it is. He also goes on to say, someday I'll spend the money to find you all a proper whiskey on each of you. I'll force a caper there if I must. Jason Spear says, Yeti's from Great Divide from Colorado. I've never had it, but I think Lee has. And finally, BC Storm says, sorry to hear about your keg, Jim. It's an awful feeling when your keg blows foam.
Ugh, it's terrible. It's terrible, and I sure took a picture of it. It was two layers. It was gray foam, a little bit of beer left, and another layer of foam on top. It was very sad. But then I walked over to the calendar and I said, when did I start this keg? And when did I finish this keg? I must have liked this beer a lot because... I'm a little ahead of schedule. It was actually...
Couple more comments.
It was really good. I should share what I did there. But what I'm going to hopefully brew next is going to be a Yeti Russian Imperial Stout clone. Some good reviews on it. It's on Beersmith, so everybody who does all grain beers, you can do that. I'm not at the point to do like experimentation, but I'll just look at recipes and people will say, yeah, this is awesome. I'm going to try it. Any other comments, Keith?
Yeah, a couple more just come in. Stuart Graney says, we came from downtown Halifax to Bedford, now have the box, and we love that the mail is locked in the box, and certain size parcels are there as well. We love it. And Grease Dane says, the U.S. has not been cutting their mail service. The last time cuts were suggested in the States, there was a major outcry. They deemed the expense acceptable. But they also have competition in the States as well.
Yeah, but didn't they cut Saturday service?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they cut Saturday service.
Oh, we used to have Saturday service here. Haven't had it for probably about 30 years. And just recently, the post office isn't open on Saturdays anymore here. It used to be open Saturdays till noon or whatever, or 1 o'clock. It's closed on Saturdays. So.
I'm going to have to rebuttal on Greenstein's saying that they haven't been cutting U.S. service. I believe they have been cutting Saturday service.
Okay, yeah. Like I said,
Saturday service was cut.
I mean,
I don't want to argue with Greenstein, but...
To get back to that for a second, though, you're talking about delivery 5 days a week. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I only get mail maybe 2 or 3 days a week. Between all the paperless bills, you don't get flyers.
Well, yeah, between all the flyers and realtors and insurance companies.
I mean, I don't want to see people lose jobs, but if we only got our mail about 3 days a week, it would be plenty for us. It would be more than enough.
Oh, yeah. Any other comments, Keith?
That's it.
Well, that's it? All right.
I'll check them one more time before we're over.
All right, yeah, doing a quick refresher. Hopefully I spurred some more comments.
Are they finally coming up for you now? Grease Stain says, ain't the North Atlantic lovely in winter? And that's it for comments for me right now.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll get that refresh here in a bit. As we mentioned earlier, we found that the comments are not coming in as smooth as they normally would, guys. So if we're not reading your comment, send us a quick tweet or email.
I'm not snubbing you. It's just not there.
Yeah, we're not snubbing you. We're just not. It's not coming up on the page. All right, let's move on to the next topic here, which is, all right, this is a good one here. A man in Fredericton went to McDonald's, get a McCafe, drinking his coffee, found a dead mouse in his cup.
And are you calling BS on that or no?
You know what? I call BS on this.
I do too. Look, maybe if there's something in it small, you'd say, oh man, something got in the cup and ooh, that's gross. Like maybe even if there's like mouse droppings in the cup, you could see that. You're like, ooh, they've got a problem. A whole mouse ain't coming out of that coffee machine, man.
The cups are stacked. They're in that little press thing where there's like air. You know what I mean? Like they pull it out, they put it under the thing, it drops, they put the lid on, and they give it to the drive-thru or whatever.
I'm not saying
it could mouse.
Wow. No, I don't think it did.
It's crazy. Carrie, does this stuff happen in Sydney or what?
No, but I think there's probably a good reason why it happened.
Why?
Okay, because he might not be the perfect customer.
Oh, snap!
You know what I mean?
It was delicious. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that, yeah, definitely, but it didn't just happen on its own, I don't think.
No, it's one of these things where these cups are I haven't worked at a McDonald's. I don't know.
In a stack, they come out like just like in Tim Hortons. They come in a stack. They're here. They're coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
Put the lid on. You'd see it staring up at you, its little beady eyes. It'd be like.
It was huge, too. So there he is. He's drinking his coffee.
What were they feeding that mouse? French fries for a week? God, it was.
Well, as he's drinking his coffee, did he not feel the force, the extra weight hitting the lid of the cup? It's like, what's hitting the lid of my cup?
Poor little guy was just trying to get his coffee fixed.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You know what? Crazy. Another crazy thing, guys, sewing needles in potatoes from P.I. Cavendish.
Yeah.
Now, the worst part, I just saw something at around Supertime tonight. RCMP knew about this potential thing a couple of weeks ago.
Well, they weren't saying what was in the potatoes at first. They said, "Oh, we found a needle in one, but we're not going to say what we found in the rest of them." I don't know if they're worried about copycats or what, but
I don't know.
But I guess you have to peel and mash your potatoes just to be on the safe side. I don't know.
Frank, so yeah, if you're buying potatoes from Cavendish from Prince Edward Island, you may want to mash them because somebody or something, have been inserting sewing needles.
Just be glad they're not injecting them with something because you'd never know about that.
Yeah.
Not to make people paranoid, but, you know.
No. And it's been a couple of these, a couple of people have been finding these big-ass needles in their potatoes.
Yeah, they're big sewing needles, too. They're not like, you know, they're little, they're like good.
Yeah.
You
know. So this is
pretty good. They recalled, didn't they? Didn't the producer recall all the potatoes?
I did not see any recall. I kept seeing
financial hardship for some of those farms.
Don't know. Well, this time of year, it's all in the cellar. But I'm starting to think, like, what? Somebody had time? Somebody had a pocket full of needles, sewing needles, and start just putting them in random freaking potatoes in the cellar in Cavendish?
You know, that's more to me if they catch them. That's more than just the crime of mischief. I mean, that's major repercussions financially and, you know, could hurt the industry in the short term.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. People are sick.
It's Halloween coming. A couple weeks. Who knows? You know?
Yeah, you know.
Don't hand the kids raw potatoes. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Oh. We had so many scares like that in Northern Ontario growing up with pins and razor blades and apples and all that other stuff. But I think this is probably one of those disgruntled employee things that, I worked here for a while. And yeah, I know. You know,
I'll show you.
Yeah, so that's probably.
That's a knitting needle.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and our last story, which is our latest bit, to see if it's good. We're going to do the way back machine. We're going back in time, reminiscing. And we pick a year between 1970, I'm not saying which 70s, until today. We pick a random number and we reminisce. And we're going to pick 1997 as the year that we're going to reminisce.
Can't believe that was 17 years ago. Now that sounds crazy, but hey, the older you get, wow.
Hey, 1997. What happened in 1997, kids?
I know one thing that happened I remember very distinctly.
Okay.
That was the year I went to Australia and New Zealand for 6 weeks, and it was right around the middle end of November. I was in New Zealand, and Michael Hutchins died. Remember the lead singer for NXS?
Oh, really?
They were an Australian band. They were huge in Australia and New Zealand, and that was all that was on the news, and that was all that was in the news for days. It was just like, I can't describe it, but it was just everywhere. That's all people were talking about every time you looked at a TV or listened to radio or newspaper. It was Michael Hutchins for, you know, a week.
Wow.
I remember that. I'll never forget that.
Damn, that's 1997. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, 1997 was the year that Hong Kong flipped over from Britain to Chinese rule, and we can see on the news how that's working out this week.
Yeah.
Princess Diana also died. It was 1997. Car crash. the Kyoto Protocol got signed in Japan.
And what happened?
Yeah, nothing.
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 We're still burning away.
In 1997, Mother Teresa died.
Okay.
That was a busy year.
That was a lot of people died that year.
It's hard to believe.
Mike Tyson bit the ear off Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Oh, my, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was 1997. Man, that was wow. Hey. Let's see what else we got. Tiger Woods at 21. Tiger Woods was 21 years old. Won his first Masters.
Babyface.
Won his first Masters.
Really? Wow.
Steve Jobs returned to Apple.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
In 1997. Oh, this is a good one here. Carlos the Jackal was caught and sentenced in the French court in 1997.
Yeah.
The Jackal, yeah.
The Jackal.
Yeah.
Internet Explorer 4 was released. IE 4, not IE 3. And your Windows 98 boxes. What else we got?
I was still using Firefox then.
Some of the big movies back then. Titanic, that was the year of the Titanic.
Fairly Confidential.
Jurassic Park, Men in Black, Air Force One, Batman and Robin.
Austin Powers, I think, came out that year, pretty
was
sure.
Was Austin Powers? Are you sure? I think that was a little bit later.
I got to check. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it did.
I want to say 99, but...
97.
Really?
Yeah.
Austin Powers, 1997?
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the theater. I remember seeing L.A. Confidential.
Holy moly.
That was back in 97.
Wow. Some of the popular musicians back in the day. Mariah Carey, Smashing Pumpkins, Nine Inch Nails.
Soundgarden released their last album in 1997. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz, yeah. And Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The legendary Sneaker Pimps.
Who?
Yeah, Sneaker Pimps. Yeah, you have to Wikipedia that. Spice Girls.
Microsoft bought Hotmail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hanson. Probably had a single back in that day. A lot of stuff happened in 1997, boys.
Yeah.
On this day in 1997, what day is today? On this day in 1997, nothing really significant happened.
Yeah, it's just depressing that it was 17 years ago.
Depends.
Yeah, 17 years ago, that means that people who were born in 1997 will be graduating high school next year, unless you're in Quebec.
Oh.
You're already graduating.
You might as well embed their iPhone into their brain stem now, because they're going to be attached to the rest of their life. So.
Oh.
A holoband to come out so we can watch movies, like, get right into it.
Hey, Google, researchers said that people who had the Google Glass, little eye thing in your eye, the withdrawal symptoms was more acute than with alcohol or something like that.
Ooh,
cool. It was more serious.
I don't know. I'm not thinking that's a great idea, but that could just be me. Maybe I'm sounding old.
But that's, you know, but that's sort of akin to what the holoband was. The holoband, like according to the Battlestar Galactica thing, is that the holoband is addictive, and you can immerse your whole life into it. But if you're there and you have your Google goggles on,
you
and you're watching, you're watching everything that's going on, and you're, next thing you know, reality is gone. You're not worried about reality.
Well, you can't look away. It's always compared to your eye there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't like it.
Let's do a quick check on the comments.
All right.
Let's see how everybody's doing here.
Okay. Just,
apparently, the Full Monty was in 1997, too. L.A. Confidential and Ice Storm and Goodwill Hunting was also. The first Harry Potter book was also in 1997. Who knew? Unless you were there in 1997.
Yep.
Keith, anything with the comments?
Yeah, Stuart Grandy says Mouse Caper is BS unless Kerry is right. Jason Spear says 1997, my second year of university, many beers were consumed. Grease Stain says a quick look at UPS hours says Saturday hours are location dependent. Some areas close at 3:30 on Saturday. Some at noon. Others are closed. And again, at a quick glance, it seems that the major centers kept Saturday service and mail sorting. Let's see what else. Grease Stain says, LOL, I remember the Sneaker Pimps. I remember the Spawn album at Marilyn Manson and the Sneaker Pimps. Long
yes.
Hair Road of Hell. Yeah. That's okay. Okay. Yeah. It's all coming back to me now.
Slowly coming back to me. That was a terrible 3 or 4 years. Any other comments, Keith, or that's about it? Or
that's about it now.
All right. Kerry, anything from Mike on the platform?
Sure. He says he's lucky that he gets his mail. He gets home delivery still, so that's good.
Oh, okay.
He would miss it, but he would get used to it. His parents live in his downstairs apartment, so they love the home delivery.
Yeah.
It is great for them. He says, I read the Coffee Mouse. Most of these items in food usually tend to be a hoax. You would think it would taste a little bit off when you had your coffee or whatever. Well, yeah, sure it would. Yeah, it might be a little bit yucky. Also, he says, is someone trying to sabotage a certain farm? What sick person would do this sort of thing? Sort of what I said. It's a disgruntled employee. He's getting back at something or something that happened.
Mm.
Also, his last comment is, he enjoyed the Time Machine segment. Good one. The Hibernia Project produced the first oil in November 1997.
Oh, really?
Also, he says, great show tonight, gang, and you'll see us all next week.
All right, thanks, Mike. Just to cap off, what happened in 1997 in terms of sports? Green Bay defeated New England 35-21. The Florida Marlins won over Cleveland. And Detroit won the Stanley Cup that year. And Wimbledon. Why am I including Wimbledon? Martina Hingis won. And the guys, who cares, right? Who was it? No, it was Pete Sampras. Exactly. Didn't know. But then at the same time, it's like, Martina Hingis. Really? 1997? Was it that long ago? Man, I feel totally old. And that was only like... How old, Keith? 17 years ago?
17 years ago.
God damn. 17 years
ago. Hello, my legitimate Australian children.
Ugh, God. All right, with that, kids, we're going to end it for this week. We went a little bit over our usual time. Just a reminder, the replay will start in a few minutes. We'll have the audio-only podcast version, which is increasing in numbers. Yay! People are downloading the audio version more. That's awesome. You can continue. You'll see that over the weekend. And, of course, on Monday you can listen to us as we discuss things 2 days before. I'd like to thank the panel. I'd like to thank the people commenting. Always appreciate it all. We'll be back here on Friday, next Friday. And guess what? Kerry reminded us, Halloween night is on 2 weeks from now. Are we going to be in costume?
I think I'll wear pants.
Who knows? Stay tuned. You're going to have to watch.
Yeah.
All right, good night, kids. We'll talk to you guys later.
See you later. Bye-bye.